Growing Up, our brand new resource for churches and parents, is out now! Woohoo! With Sunday school sessions, training videos, podcast episodes for parents, and one for the whole family. All there to help our children navigate the confusion, filter the messages they're surrounded by, and hear God's good story. All our Growing Up resources point to the Heavenly Father who loves our children even more than we do and has the answer to their biggest questions about who they are and how to live. Together, as families and churches, we can support each other to start good conversations about bodies, gender, and marriage, so our children can grow up hearing God's good story. Head over to the website faithinkids.org and find out all the details about Growing Up.
Great, we're ready then in that case. Hello, wonderful friends, mums, dads, girls, boys, dogs, tortoises. I'd like to think that cats can get along with our Faith in Kids podcast. We want everyone to gather round. Who else might be listening, Jam?
Gerbils, grandmas, hamsters, neighbours, rabbits, someone got a pet mongoose. Whatever kind of creature you are, we're here with another hunk of John's Gospel. This one is a John exclusive. No other gospel has this particular bit of resurrection magic.
This is episode 4 of Easter Explained. I know I'm easily excited, but this has been a great journey.
You are easily excited, but we started in episode 1 in the garden, Jesus getting arrested and saying,
I am he.
Episode 2, on the cross, the hardest day, but Jesus was there to do a job for us. And when it was done, he said,
it is finished.
Episode 3, by the tomb, the best day, the one with the gardener who wasn't a gardener. He peeled Mary off him and said,
I'm going back to my father and your father.
Ed, today we're in a locked room. Give us the whip around question.
Jam, is there a superpower you wish your body had?
Okay, there are three obvious ones and I'm just going to name them.
Okay.
Invisibility.
Yeah.
Being able to fly.
Oh.
And time travel. I mean, those kind of go without saying. But I thought of a fourth. The ability to turn anything into chocolate.
Oh, Jam. I find it hard not to think. I just wish I was much, much better at sport. So I'm going...
You're not thinking big enough.
No, Ed. I'm not. I don't need to be a superhero, Jam. I just want to be able to pass the football.
Okay. And actually being invisible makes that very difficult, doesn't it? Because your other teammates can't see you.
You're exactly right, Jam.
Yeah. So whatever it is you want, which superpower do you wish your body had, and go?
In today's story, we find out that Jesus had a new body that could just appear in a locked room. What a superpower. All of his wounds were healed, but there was still some itty bitty scars. Oh, Jam, that noise can only mean one thing. It is the fanfare for 5 fabulous fun facts.
Yes, it is. Here we go. And today we're talking about locks, twins, fingers, the number 12 and sight. And you will hear all of those mentioned in our reading today. Beginning with locks, A surprisingly old invention, probably thought up by the Egyptians 2,000 years BC. So that's 2,000 years before this story about Jesus. Except they were made of hard wood. So I guess you could pick them or you could burn them. So that maybe they're not that secure. But round about the time of Jesus, Romans started making metal locks with metal keys because the Romans were very clever.
So, Jam, if you were pushed, would today's story feature a wooden lock or a metal lock?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if you listen to the sketch at the end, I think you'll hear metal locks because they sound much more fun.
Okay.
Twins and fingers. We're doing two in one. Twins are more likely to be left-handed. About one in five pairs of twins are left-handed, whereas for non-twins, you're only likely to be left-handed one time in 10. That's weird, don't know why. And fingers, identical twins are not completely identical as they have different fingerprints, which is great so that an evil twin can't go off, have fingerprints on the scene of the crime and then their innocent twin is arrested.
Could I just say, if we have twins listening, we think both of you are lovely and Jam does not believe that either of you is evil.
Well, Ed doesn't really speak for me, but still, we'll go on. The number 12 has significance all the way through the Bible. 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 spies were sent to scout out the promised land in Numbers 13. And when Jesus fed the 5,000, how many baskets of bread were left over, Ed?
12!
The number 12. Finally, sight. Our ears and nose grow throughout life, but our eyes stay the same size from birth. Your eyes can get sunburned. I have no idea how. And your eyes can detect a candle flame from 1.7 miles away. But you probably won't be burned or get sunburned eyes. That feels like quite a safe distance, doesn't it?
Okay, Jam, are you actually telling us that if there was a family listening with a baby, daddy's eyeball would be the same size as baby's eyeball?
Yes, I think so. But you can see, but the sockets are a bit smaller, so you can't see. But they're the adult size from the very beginning, which is, I guess, why pictures of babies look like they got big eyes.
So we're about to hear today's Bible story from John's Gospel. And in this story, apparently, we're listening out for locks, twins, fingers 12 and sight. Jam, is that true?
Yes, Thomas is called Thomas the Twin.
Oh.
I don't know if that's actually in our reading, but here we go.
Our reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19.
It was the first day of the week. That evening, Jesus' followers were together. The doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. Then Jesus came and stood among them. He said,
"Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His followers were very happy when they saw the Lord.
Thomas, called Didymus, was not with the followers when Jesus came. Thomas was one of the 12. The other followers told Thomas, "We saw the Lord." But Thomas said,
"I will not believe it until I see the nail marks in his hands, and I will not believe until I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side."
A week later, the followers were in the house again. Thomas was with them.
The doors were locked, but Jesus came in and stood among them. He said,
"Peace be with you."
Then he said to Thomas,
"Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand here in my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Thomas said to him,
"My Lord and my God."
"You believe because you see me. Those who believe without seeing me will be truly happy."
The disciples were hiding. All together in one room, the doors were locked. They were afraid. Why? Well, Peter and John had seen the empty tomb. Mary had met the risen Jesus. She'd told the others. Why were they hiding? Why weren't they out there telling the world the amazing news? Then Jesus appeared right in the middle of the room. Jesus stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
Wow, how kind is Jesus? When they were afraid, he came bringing words of peace. No telling off, no harsh words, no what do you think you're doing here? That's how Jesus is with us. Always a word of peace, kindness and love, even when we've got it wrong. Now, the disciples were sure. Party time! They're all certain. Oh, except Thomas. He wasn't in the room. He hadn't seen Jesus. So when everyone told him, hey, Thomas, Jesus is alive. He was here. He really has risen from the dead. Thomas said,
I will not believe it until I see the nail marks in his hands. And I will not believe until I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side.
We can be like Thomas, finding reasons not to believe. Unless my friends believe, I won't. God, unless you give me what I want, I won't trust you. Or, God, unless I see something or I get a dream or a special feeling, I won't be sure. Jesus had done enough by dying and rising again to prove we can trust him forever. He loves us. He's for us. We can stop doubting and we can believe. 1 week after this, the disciples were all together again in the room, doors locked, but this time Thomas was there. Jesus appeared and said again,
peace be with you.
Jesus went to Thomas and he said,
put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand here in my side. Stop doubting and believe.
Thomas got this next bit exactly right. He said to Jesus,
my Lord and my God.
He was now certain that Jesus is the risen Son of God. He can now trust and follow the King forever. It's all right for Thomas. He got what he wanted. He said he wouldn't believe till he could see, and he did get to see, and he got to touch. But what about us? We can't do that. We don't get that. In the next verse, Jesus talks to Thomas about us. Listen in. Jesus said,
you believe because you see me. Those who believe without seeing me will be truly happy.
That's us. We don't get to see with our eyes or touch with our hands. And that's why God made sure John wrote down this bit in the Bible, so you and I can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I know a little boy whose body doesn't work very well. In fact, his body is getting worse. More and more, his parents have to help him to do simple things, like standing up and walking. Every day is difficult for them. His dad told me that he always knew Jesus rose from the dead. He had heard this story, he believed it. But now he thinks about it every day. He looks at his son and remembers one day his son will have a new body like Jesus's that will work perfectly with no aches, no stumbles, no weakness, and no medicines. He says he doesn't know how anyone could do without the resurrection. He needs the resurrection to get through each day. His son needs the resurrection. They have been changed by Jesus rising from the dead. Thomas was changed that day from doubting to believing. The disciples were changed from hiding to sharing the good news. We can be changed by believing that Jesus is alive. And one day, we will be too. How are you changed? Let me pray. Father, we thank you that the hope of Jesus' resurrection is that one day we shall be like him. Alive again, with great perfect bodies. I pray, Father, that we would know how the resurrection changes today. Amen.
Amen. Ed's got questions.
Under fives, Who couldn't believe it? Fives to sevens. What did he get to do so he did believe it? Over eights. How does Jesus say we can be even better than Thomas? And over 11s, do you know someone who right now would be helped by knowing that the resurrection of the dead is a thing?
You can press pause and have a chat about that right now. But we're going to carry on. We've got a sketch coming up, and we've imagined what happened later that day when the disciples had run out of the unlocked room to celebrate. But Thomas has been left behind. But he's not alone for long.
Is it okay to come in and clear the plates?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, it's locked. Hang on.
Locking the doors, are we?
Well, you can't be too careful.
You are being too careful.
Oh, wait, there's a latch there too. Sorry, we were friends with someone who was crucified and we're worried it could be us next, so we keep the door locked.
Right. You all finished?
Yes, just me left. Others have gone. I was going to finish off my dinner, but I just don't fancy it.
Was there a problem? I can tell the chef. He always likes to know. Otherwise, people leave bad reviews on InAdvisor.
Oh, it wasn't the food. No, that was great. It's just... during dinner, we had a bit of a shock. Someone arrived. In fact, the man who'd been crucified, he arrived.
Your friend was nailed to a cross and survived. That never happens. The Romans might not be good at everything, but very good at roads and...
aqueducts.
And really good at crucifying people.
Well, they crucified him really well. He died... a soldier poked a spear in his side. Ugh, blood had gone weird, you know.
Oh, grim. Thanks for that.
And then he was buried for 3 days. Then he returned. Here, a week ago.
I don't believe it.
I know, right? I didn't believe it either. I wasn't there at the time. So I said they were all 3 loaves short of a miracle.
You what?
Oh, yeah, that's a joke for disciples. Jesus, you know, man, I get it.
You're one of Jesus' disciples. How could you doubt it?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course I would. Wait, so your bloke, who came back from the dead, is Jesus?
Yeah, I am. I said, unless I put my fingers in his nail marks and my hand in his side, I wouldn't believe.
Oh, that's gross. I mean, I get it, but it's gross.
Anyway, Jesus just... Well, reappeared. Here. Today.
What? Even though the door was locked?
Yeah. Yeah, and he showed me the marks in his hands and the hole in his side.
And it put you right off your dinner. Do you want it in a doggy bag?
Yeah. Yes, please. Sorry, I can't get my head around the fact it really was Jesus. I was too excited to eat. But I'm still processing it all.
No problem. And I can't wait to tell the chef that Jesus is alive. He'll be excited too. Chef! Chef! Great news!
Oh, but how do you know? How do you know he's alive? You've not seen him. Jesus was right. Those who believe without seeing really will be truly happy.
If Christ isn't risen, our faith is vain. We're right back where we started. We're still in our sin. But if Jesus is alive, that changes everything. If Christ isn't risen, his claim can't be true. He isn't God in person. He can't die for you.
We
Dumrock's If Christ Isn't Risen, link to that in the show notes. Go and have a look.
We love getting your emails. Kate, thanks for emailing us with Matt, Joy, Caleb, Jess and Ellie. We love that you had a big discussion about lighthouses. You're wondering if all of them are completely unique or whether actually they all have the same pattern on the East Coast or something. And Amy, can you settle this? Oh, if only Amy was here to talk endlessly about lighthouses.
If only. And we've had an email from Sarah, Nathaniel, Autumn and Ethan. Thanks so much. Autumn says, Jam, no, horrified by the entrail expelling sea cucumber that she covered her ears. Secretly, she couldn't stop listening and wants more of those yucky facts, please. You see, Ed, I knew it. I knew it. Anyway, they listen to us on their way to school and we're really pleased to get an email from you.
Hello, Joan. You're in Milnathort, Scotland. Easy for you to say. On your way to school, you love Action Tim and all the songs. Let me tell you, we do too.
Thanks very much for getting in contact. You can do that by emailing us at
podcast@faithinkids.org. If Easter is still where you are, then of course you can download the accompanying resources for Sunday school and church outreach events. Go to faithinkids.org and just search up Easter Explained. Because why would you keep John's great Easter story to yourself?
Why would you? You wouldn't. That would be the act of a crazy person. Anyway, we'll be back soon, hopefully after Easter, with a new series. But until then, cheerio.
Bye-bye. Under fives, who couldn't believe it? Fives to sevens, what did he get to do so he did believe it? Over eights, how does Jesus say we can be even better than Thomas? And over 11s, do you know someone who right now would be helped by knowing that the resurrection of the dead is a thing?